God, we love the diversity that you have surrounded us with and that we are part of. Sometimes it's hard. Lead us, we pray, with those who are different than us, that we might praise your name and give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The focus today is on keying off the passage in Job, where Job is managing this trauma, this testing, this very difficult time in his life. But because of the gospel, I just want to say a few words and frame that very tough saying of Jesus, not only to those who are divorced and perhaps remarried in our community, but to us all. I've just come from the wedding of my good friend. I was involved in the rehearsal and the wedding ceremony and reception just Friday and Saturday. And my friend is divorced after 24 years of marriage, and then 8 years later was remarried yesterday. So does the church have some way forward? Jesus said, whoever marries after being divorced commits adultery. He then gives a condition, except for situations of marital infidelity, that is, where one partner has sex with another person outside the marriage. That is sort of that clause of possibility. He said, Moses gave you this injunction. A Jewish man could give a certificate of divorce of his wife, and that would be it. But that had become abused, and women were left vulnerable in this situation. And so Jesus says, no, Moses said this because your hearts are hard. Hard hearts do not change. Would you agree? When my heart is hard toward you, my attitude's not going to change. If I see you in the grocery store, in the produce section, I will go somewhere else. Have you ever been in that situation? The bakery's a good place to go. You know, especially the self-serve, you can kind of focus on what you're going to get and let the person pass. Why? Because my heart is hard. My heart is hard. Right? So hardness of heart is such a key piece to this. Now, those of you who have been divorced and are either not married or are remarried, you know, what do you carry? Some people have told me that they feel like a second-class sort of citizen. My brother said, I have two siblings who are divorced, my sister who did not remarry, my brother who has remarried. He said, Paul, if you're ever going to talk about divorce, make sure that you talk to people who have been divorced and who have experienced the pain that entails. And so I remember my brother, his words as I speak. And again, this is not where I want to go in the next 15 minutes, but I did want to say something. I couldn't not say something, I felt, right? So I'm thinking about my friend coming out of this remarriage, and it was a joyful day. He had been 8 years not married, 8 years since his divorce. The question is, I think in any situation where there's estrangement, is has reconciliation been pursued? And I think that condition, if I could put it that way, with my friend was yes. Sometimes there is someone who is being abused in a marriage relationship. And I would say the first thing to do in that case, whether it's sexual abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, abandonment, which is a form of abuse, whether it's sexual abuse, or I think that addictions, someone who is caught in addiction is also a form of abuse to the non-addicted spouse, whether that's pornography, whether that's gambling, whether that's alcohol or drugs. And so there's two partners, clearly. There's one, if the one is a victim, that victim needs to be supported. If they're a victim of abuse, that person needs to call the police and report it. And also speak to the elders of the church, to the pastoral team, and we will come alongside to support and protect. The goal always is reconciliation. The goal clearly in a situation of abuse is protection and healing, to be safe. Would you agree that that is love? And so let's not just put this aside today and on Thanksgiving. You might go, the strangest sermon on Thanksgiving was about divorce and remarriage. Well, that's how the readings come up. And so we do want to, again, not just put this aside, but say that there are situations where these conditions, as the scripture lies out, are exhausted. They are fulfilled, if you will, this desire for reconciliation. But the key here, I believe, is also hardness of heart, that sometimes people can be so wounded by another that their hearts are hardened against them, perhaps out of protection. And so I believe that is part of the pastoral response in a situation where there is marital breakdown and estrangement, perhaps separation, and even talk of divorce. Jesus brings it back to creation. God created a male and a female that they would leave their homes, their homes of origin, leave their parents, and become united and become one flesh, which is a mystery. It's a mystery, and God uses that mystery to speak about Christ's relationship to the church. And so this is very deep. And the essence of this, of course, is love. The essence of God's relationship with us is love. And so in Jesus and Scripture talking about the bridegroom being Christ, who is going to return once again and receive the bride, who is the church, the community of those following after Jesus, it speaks of what I experienced yesterday, this wedding supper of the Lamb, which yesterday at the reception was simply a foretaste of what we are anticipating to come when Christ returns. So there are many layers of this discussion about, clearly about marriage, and that's why we do marriage preparation here. A lot of people go, this is another thing I need to do. We got stuff to do. It's like, sorry, but we don't marry anyone here unless they go through a time of preparation. Right? And we don't set a date for a wedding until we have a discernment about whether or not this would be a healthy thing. I think that just makes sense if we're going to join in to this, not just day, but this lifelong covenant commitment. And the third covenant partner here clearly is God, who makes it all hold together. So are there conditions where one partner might leave another? The Bible, I believe, says so. The core here, again, I believe, is hardness of heart toward the offending partner. And that needs to be dealt with. And then is there a period and a safe way to reach out to be reconciled? And I mean safe for the offended partner, for the victim within that marriage relationship. So this is deep water, I realize, and perhaps it was not even right of me to tread into this. But I want to say to those who are divorced people, you are loved and accepted. And if you need forgiveness, well, let's work that out, right? But we are all a broken people. We're all broken. And no one has a perfect and shining marriage. We all are in desperate need of God's love and power. And so I just want to say that we want to be a community of healing, of love, of acceptance and forgiveness. And we also want to be a community where we protect those who are being injured. And we don't just kind of, we want to get better at that and stand together. So the Bible does not command divorce. No, it doesn't. It permits it. It regulates it, and it limits it. And I hope that is helpful in some way. And at the heart of it, as I said, this hardness of heart needs to be dealt with, and that's through counseling, it's through pastoral care, it's through separation, perhaps. It's through healing and a gaining of a place of security. So is that okay, the gospel? I know it's not a thorough treatment, and yet I just wanted to make comment. I couldn't gloss over the gospel today. Jesus' words in this question that was meant to test them. In preparation for today, I've spoken with a member of our church who I think models offering a sacrifice of praise in tough times. So I've moved now from divorce and remarriage. Okay, have you made that move with me? All right? I've made that move. And if you notice in the first reading, Job, right? Job is an upright man. He is having awful things happen to him. He has open sores from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. What is he doing? He's managing that. How? First of all, he's in ashes. It's a sign of repentance. There's some thought that the ashes might have some medicinal function here as well. And he's scraping his sores. He's managing as he can this awful situation. It's profoundly grotesque, wouldn't you say? I mean, just awful. But the deeper question is, did God cause this? And we hear this dialogue between the heavenly beings and Satan. So Satan is on par with the heavenly beings, not on par with God, but on par with the angelic beings. And God allows Satan, for God's own reasons of testing, it's beyond me, but I see this permissive will. God permits this to happen. Does God cause it to happen? No. I don't believe that. But does God allow things to happen to good people? I believe that's true. And only God, in God's redemptive purposes, knows how God is going to work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And I don't say those words lightly. I believe that God can work all things for good. All things. For those who love God, who stay focused on God, and are called according to God's purposes, who are part of the community of faith, as imperfect as we are moving forward in your relationship with God. Scripture says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. It's such a good deal. It's such a good deal. It's like 50% off at the store. Who wouldn't? You just take a step toward God and God comes towards us. God is not distant. God wants to be very, very involved. It's deep water. Suffering is deep water. And yet, on this day of Thanksgiving, can we offer a sacrifice even of praise and thanks to God? Can we do that? And so to help us understand what that might be like, I've asked Dennis Nkodjo to come and to share a part of his journey. And so as Dennis comes forward, let's reframe. Think about this Thanksgiving day. And when perhaps bad things happen. Please come. Can you come over here, Dennis? My brother? Welcome.
Thank you.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Pastor Paul asked whether I'd be willing to share my journey of recovery thus far. For those that may not know, last December I had a life-threatening health incident while driving home from work that had me hospitalized for close to a month and the following 6 months as an outpatient. In Psalm 100, verses 3 to 5, the Bible tells us that the Lord is God, that it is He who made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And we only enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Because of God's goodness, I celebrated another birthday last week, and I am back to work since the end of July. Most importantly, I get to and I'm able to hug my wife and children, sometimes even fight again. But at my most vulnerable point ever, God did not forsake me. He provided his guardian angels that day on the Portman Bridge, including someone called Eddie, who happens to be Abby and Robert Amisa's nephew. I'd never met Eddie before. I met him. My body met him at the Portman, but I didn't recognize him because I'd passed out. He saw me. He was driving behind me, he says, and he saw me for 2 kilometers as my health incident took over. And, yep. So, was that a coincidence that this was Eddie behind me, even if I didn't know him from Abby and Robert's family? We got to meet Eddie, my family and I, Jackie, Colin, and the others and the kids, to meet Eddie recently at Abby and Robert's house, home, and it was incredibly emotional for all those present. I am still processing what he told me about the chilly December evening, that chilly December evening. But there are a lot of things, you know, that he said, which show you God's presence in our lives. That was for me, but I share this because I have no doubt it was God. For instance, he talked about a blanket that he lay on the cold tarmac that he had used to carry a broken dishwashing machine a month or so earlier and hadn't taken out of his car. He kept saying, I'll take it out. And he never did until that day. He took it out to cover me. In our family, in our own family, again, we have someone else currently battling serious health challenges called Monique. Pastor Paul knows. When I was in hospital, she was also brought into the hospital. And that kind of almost broke all of us. But we are continuing to see God's healing hand active in her life. I'm sure many of you here are also dealing with some laborious situation of some nature in your lives. What can I say? I think prayer helps a great deal. Actually, I know that prayer helps a great deal. Every Sunday when we pray and my name is read out and all through, that has really lifted me up back to this point. Your words of encouragement have uplifted me beyond measure. And I only urge us to keep doing that, checking in with each other, because that's what makes us community. I thank you all for supporting me and my family through your prayers, the calls, the emails, food, and even somebody who gave me winter boots that enabled me to take regular walks on the icy surfaces during the last winter because I was getting lazy. I said I didn't want to fall. This person came home and brought me boots. They're 2 sizes bigger than my foot, but he said, let's go. And that's part of why I'm here. I pray to God to bless all of you and to answer all the struggles that you're going through. Happy Thanksgiving.
Could you stay just for a second? Do you mind if I ask you a question? Can I get this on, Philip? Thank you, Dennis. Bridget, thank you for... could I just ask 2 questions? And we did not rehearse this before, but... Dennis, how long ago did your house burn?
2015, Jan.
And it was considered a complete...
Oh, we walked out with nothing.
Okay. So, where were your wife and children when that happened?
They were traveling back from a visit back home in Uganda. And I was preparing for my final bar exams here.
So you practice as a barrister?
I'm a lawyer, yes.
And lawyer.
But I'll tell you, at the Portman Bridge, Eddie told me there was nothing coming out of me. So, you know, my training is argue, defend, plead. We use all those words as lawyers. I couldn't say a word. I actually asked him something that I whispered to him, and I haven't even shared with Bridget. I said, hey, you know, I see the coat I was wearing that day. What happened to my pants? And he gave me another hug and said, let's just leave that. Which means, you know, as more vulnerable, when you're that scared, when you're fighting for life, everything gives away. He didn't say that, but that's what I imagine it to be. So, but he still held me, and so did the other people that stopped, an off-duty cop that I'm still trying to find. I'll tell you, I mean, even meeting Eddie at Abby and Robert's home, it was so hard. Everybody was crying, and you know, he was so overwhelmed. And I'm still talking to him to ask him to come. He's a very reserved person that doesn't want, says, I'm not a hero, we just stopped, I just saw a car veering. I said, this is a drunk guy. He said, but no, he's not drunk because he was driving okay before. Then I saw some struggles, and then you hit the bridge and hit what? And he said, you know, he saw it all. And when somebody is telling you about you as if it's a movie.
Wow.
So Nagasha came and said to him, thank you for saving my dad. And, God lifts us up. He lifts us up. And I know there are other people here. This is not about me alone. There are other people here going through even harder challenges. And sometimes a pimple on my foot can be equal to a heart attack or somebody else's. So, I share this just because I want to give encouragement to everybody here. We don't know what each one of us is going through, but we give thanks, and God truly, truly exists.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Let me just close, can I? In the prayer book, it says, it is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, creator and preserver of all things, one who is higher than we are. We look to God and give thanks. Thank you for helping us remember that. Thank you, Bridget.